Welkom bij het Recruitment Café, de podcast voor en door recruiters. Maandelijks luisteren 1500 recruitment en HR professionals mee naar waardevolle gesprekken op zoek naar advies, tricks, learnings en goede verhalen die vandaag de dag werken in de wereld van recruitment. Van persoonlijke branding als recruiter tot het opzetten van een effectief referralbeleid, alles komt aan bod. Natuurlijk wel lekker in een informele setting. En nu door naar de podcast. Laten we beginnen.
Yes, welcome at Recruitment Café. This one is going to be in English because I have a guest here who doesn't speak Dutch or not that well. So we're going to switch to English. If us recruiters talk about sourcing, we think about LinkedIn. But there are way more possibilities to search and source than only LinkedIn. And let's explore this in today's podcast. I'm here with Alla Pavlova, technical sourcing expert, speaker, coach, tech recruiter, leads Amsterdam Slack platform community, loves to build and test sourcing tools, and is here at our office to speak about sourcing. So I got the time to talk to you also here in the podcast. Welcome, Alla. What I noticed, like a lot of people in the talent acquisition, me included a little bit, are not the biggest fan of sourcing. You're not one of them. You probably get energy from it, and I'm just wondering what or why does it appeal to you so much?
Oh, it's so great. Thank you for having me. For those who are listening, please be careful. This is going to be very contentious because sourcing is very powerful. The moment when you get into it, you feel that you have so many ways to find talents. You have so many tools. Mm-hmm. You really becoming like having a superpower. So this type of person in a team. Mm-hmm. And I like to see the face of my team members when I enable them to do something. They come to me saying, hey, how can I not to open same links again and again? Because when I scrape, when I X-ray Google for some, I don't know, sourcing on Twitter, let's say X-ray in Google.
Yeah.
And I get to open same profiles again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And I can say, hey, by the way, there's an amazing tool, very easy, Link Controller. It's extension on Google Chrome. You can just download it and you will see them in a different color. So you will never open them again. Seriously, it is possible. Or things like note takers. Like mm-hmm. It's not like exactly sourcing tool, but it's something that's going to really help you to be more efficient and to think. So basically, Sourcer is a super, super efficient, resourceful recruiter who is not interviewing people most of the time.
You like to be in the background with sourcing. Is it also a part of who you are in a sense that you just...
I love interview people, especially because I work in gaming. Mm-hmm. I would say the role is evolving. If you're a sourcer who is working in a team with recruiters, I think you really are an asset if you're bringing a healthy pipeline, if you're really making your team faster and diverse pipelines makes a huge difference for clients if you're working like an RPO or an interim. Mm-hmm. But if you're an in-house sourcer and if you have a team, you can bring even more to the business. And this is what I love about this role and what I have right now. Basically, in my research, company can decide if they would like to open office in some locations. They would like to decide if they're going to open the role in that particular place and how people call themselves, how people move from country to another country. So it is, in a way, a role that's helping business, and this is quite senior also. Yeah. If anyone is considering sourcers, junior recruiters, in some way it's possible because someone just would like to become a recruiter. So you always need to ask a sourcer what is the next step for them.
And because a lot of people think about sourcing that it's like the start of recruitment, and from there you can go on. But it's not like that. I mean, it could be a really senior heavy role because I think you take it to another level because you source and you don't use LinkedIn, or you could source without LinkedIn, which is maybe for a lot of listeners like, okay,
how does she do it? I haven't paid for LinkedIn, I think, for 6 or 7 years.
Yeah. How did that start, that you just no longer use LinkedIn?
I started freelancing in 2015. And at that moment, I didn't have enough money to pay for LinkedIn. It just was super expensive for me. And I was like, is there any other ways? Mm-hmm. Basically, it was necessary for me to survive. There are at the moment in 2015 in the Netherlands, I think it was like 2,000 freelance recruiters, and I really need to compete.
Yeah.
So I started to look in other ways, and you can always X-ray Google for public profiles of LinkedIn. So that's easy. You learn scraping, so you learn to be the pipelines out of LinkedIn scrape. But you also, the more you talk to specialists that you're hiring, the more you get to know other places.
It's
they are the ones who are telling you where they're hanging out.
Yeah, so you're talking to your tech recruiters, so you're probably talking to a lot of .NET developers and the technical fellows, and you just started also to talk their language and to see where they are in their free time or which websites they are, and then I'm noticing like of course Stack Overflow, those kind of websites, and you started to search more on those places instead of the basic LinkedIn, because for you in that time was too expensive as a starting freelance recruiter.
Exactly. And I think how I started it was I didn't have access to like a big recruitment team, so I was on my own. Mm-hmm. I started to talk to people who are doing the job, like .NET developers or front-end developers. I was asking them directly, hey, I'm new to this role in a way. I'm searching for people like you, and I really don't know where you're hanging out. Can you help me out just to learn more from you? And people were actually quite surprised that you're asking them this question. So recruiter reaching out to developers.
They're vulnerable in a sense. Like, I just don't know. Can you help me?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I was offering my help back, saying, hey, I can have a look at your profile and give you some advice if you want to. So this is how I found quite a few friends that I'm still friends with, people who became CTOs or like engineer managers.
That helps.
That really, really helps. So the best way you can get assignments is through the recommendations. So I really forgot the times when I need to really go door to door and explain who I am. Because if someone recommends you, so this is the best way to get in. Mm-hmm. But so how I started. So I started to ask these people, and they started to tell me, we have a Slack group, so you can join. So I was like, okay, Slack, what is Slack? How it works? How I get in?
Yeah.
And
love it, by the way.
I love it too. And I actually became a Slack community chapter lead. And if anyone considering Slack as a Slack community is something that they would like to be part of, it's very easy to join. And it's actually, you can even open your own chapter and start building your own community. I use this community in a way to get people together. And so this is how I get to know more and more software engineers. And I was asking them, like, okay, Stack Overflow is the place where all of them will have accounts, I think. But then what about GitHub? And I've learned also the rules, what is expected from software engineers who have an account on GitHub. What do you expect from recruiters to do with it? So let's say a lot of recruiters like asking questions like, do you need to really understand the code? Like speaking the developer's language, I don't think it's possible.
No.
If you're not investing time and if you're not having same type of, education, you can do the basics, learn like skills in the code academies. I think it's very helpful. So you have the basic knowledge.
But so you're saying if you want to be a really good tech recruiter, understand a little bit their world, but also try to write some code just to know how it feels.
Very simple. I would like to mention my friend and colleague, Enrico Hildeberg. So he basically used
Riot Games, right?
Yeah. Riot Games, yeah. So right now he's building teams in another gaming company. He created an extension for recruiters by using ChatGPT. So he asked ChatGPT to code, and he was checking things, and he's not a software engineer himself, but he created a Chrome extension for cross-referencing profiles that makes your life much easier and faster for free, and he has a GitHub repository explaining step by step.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he's not a coder, but he kind of used ChatGPT to code.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
How's the extension, the name for the people who are interested?
I need to check. Is it possible to add links?
Oh, yeah,
to
yeah.
To our podcast,
I'll talk to marketing. It'll be fine.
So anyone can reach out directly. But yeah, just Google Enrico Hildeberg. I think you will see it's in his profile. But I think it's multi-something. So
yeah.
Top of my head.
could have worked on a better rememberable name, but
exactly, Enrico, if you're listening. Yeah, so
yeah. Okay, so with that code you can cross-reference profiles, so you can compare .NET developers, let's say, as an example.
No, it's a little bit different. Sorry, I was not clear.
No worries.
It is you found let's say someone's GitHub profile,
yep,
and you will really save time if you can use extension that is going to show other social media profiles of this person. Okay. And you can actually build in the websites that you particularly need. In gaming, we check websites like Mobi Games and others that are specific for our type of work, like ArtStation. So this extension really can be modified, and you can ask it to open social media profiles of that person that you found on GitHub in the websites that you particularly targeting.
Yeah.
So comparing developers, it's all about tools. Like in sourcing, this is so fascinating. Like you just asked me if it's possible to compare profiles. Yes, it is, but it's another thing. Mm-hmm. It's another tool also used by developers actually on GitHub, where you can use the tool that's read the profile and give you the summary, mm-hmm, of skills of the person and the quality of the code, and also can compare profiles in terms of like activity and stars and location and these kind of things.
Okay, well, a little bit triggered here because I'm curious. Eventually you use the plugin and then you get all the social media accounts of the developers that you're looking for. But then you need to write on the right platform, the right message in the right tone of voice to a developer. Can I assume that some developers are like, what are you contacting me on Twitter, Instagram, or X nowadays?
Yeah, exactly.
What is your game plan there then?
Contacting? It's actually a good thing that it's not possible to contact developers on every social media platform. So I'm actually happy about it.
This is getting creepy.
Exactly. Ah, yeah. So, I mean, when someone once mentioned to me that my latest purchase was so fun and the person wanted to connect to me, I was like, oh my God, this is so creepy. Is it like how people see me when they mention something about their profile? Mm-hmm. So my approach is, yeah, personalization is important. And mm-hmm, I think there are so many tools right now that help you out. For example, there is another awesome guy, Mike Cohen, Batman. He is well known in US sourcing community. Yep. So basically he showed that you can combine a few tools like Clay, mm-hmm, that uses ChatGPT for personalization.
Yeah.
So you just you scrape the profiles, add them to Clay, and Clay will email everyone.
Yeah, and then with a personalized message.
A message
is getting information from the profile. So we're talking about history, maybe interests, hobbies, like those kind of things.
Yeah, exactly. So, You can do better in a way, because still generative AI is in its evolving
progress,
stage.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I still think that when you use it for generating content, you still change something. Mm-hmm. When it comes to personalization, there are some nice examples. Just my advice always, look at the profile and think if what you are offering is something that could bring a value or joy or anything to the person you're reaching out.
You have to add value.
Yes. Mm. So, I mean, you look at the profile, especially again in gaming, it's you know what it's going to give them. Maybe promotion, maybe better game experience. You just try to see if that's something that's going to change the person's life. Mm-hmm. And
what are signs of something you can add value in a profile?
For example, you can see that the person was in the same role for some time. And
yep,
let's say Ala was 5 years sorcerer. Maybe the logical next step that is not possible in her company, we can offer her like sourcing manager, because she's already having enough years of experience. But if you don't know if she has this people management skills, let's reach out. Let's say, hey, I don't see that in your profile, but I thought, why not? Why not to have a chat? I try to always suggest just a conversation, not the interview. So, mm-hmm, in a way, you don't know if it's any value. until you ask, right? Yeah. And you
but you have to take a little bit of a guess when you write a personalized message, like, okay, what is her or his trigger, or what is...
You can see if person is following something that could give you a hint. So you see following companies, following influencers. Yeah.
Organizations, like... I usually, when I personalize messages, I always check at their interests on completely underneath in LinkedIn.
Yeah.
So usually I found a lot of people, like, for example, following the Bill and Melissa Gates Foundation. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, I know that, you know, they're interested in things, charity, better world, those kind of things.
Exactly.
This is something you always check also, the interests in that sense?
Yeah, there are some tools that also helps to find a little bit more content on the social media. What's my name? It's a website where you can put your nickname that you use, I don't know, for gaming, we all use it, and or your real name also could work. And it's going to show fun places to start this personalization that could be really interesting.
Did you ever write to a developer using his gamer name?
Of course, yeah. So, I mean, it's like Summer name is super, super popular to use.
Yeah.
I think I never checked anyone's history, so that's for sure, because I don't care if the person is on a high league or just a beginner, so it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But what I like to, with this What's My Name tool, I'm sure people are checking right now.
Yeah.
You can see that I'm a Garmin user. So if you know my nickname, so you know that I'm using Garmin and I have a PlayStation at home. And my recent purchase was that game. So this kind of things. Yeah.
Four or five. You have no PlayStation.
Five.
You're so up to date.
Yeah, I was waiting for it. To be honest, I didn't buy it when it was sold by
I'm
third parties.
I'm waiting for a Grand Theft Auto 6 before I'm buying it.
Okay.
So it's going to be another year probably.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Final Fantasy, and they work exclusively, I think, with a PlayStation. And the same goes to Guerrilla Games, if anyone is listening. So you guys do amazing job. So that's also
a quite little shout out here.
It's a Sony. I love the games. I have also right here. And once I actually applied for a job, it was a job for a recruiter and Guerrilla Games. And Aloy is the name of the main character. My name is Aula. She's a red hair. I'm a red hair. So I saw a lot of connection for this job.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was a freelancer at that moment. So that was my preferred option. But anyway, so coming back to
tooling.
Yeah. Yes. So I think people can hear how you get excited. So that's what I told at the very beginning. You can really feel that any problem you can solve in a few different ways. And I think this mentality I learned from a very amazing person that I really admire is my husband. Yeah. So he's a data scientist.
He's a data scientist.
Yeah. So
okay. How did you find him? Like
I interviewed him.
Yeah, really? Oh, wow.
12 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really fun story. But
did he apply or did you source him?
Shame on me. So basically, I interviewed his friend, and his friend recommended him to talk to me because
it's a life changing recommendation here. Yeah,
yeah. You know, his surname is Reason.
Reason.
Yes.
Other than the sound of reason.
It's like It's like
nice.
It's so funny. Mm-hmm. Basically, he recommended him. I interviewed my husband, fell in love, and we hired him. So I start to show him, like, you know, this is how it works. This is great. So let's go for lunch. Let's go for drinks and this kind of thing. So he thought I'm just a great HR. It took me 2 weeks probably to really...
Before he got a hint.
Exactly. Yeah. So he thought, I'm very professional. So
Hey, if you look at your whole process and as an example, you're looking for a really specialized game developer. What are the tools that you're using throughout that process of searching somebody? Because we already mentioned Clay. We always... You know, the different tools. What are the tools that you're using regularly in the process?
So Clay is a paid tool, so I like to use free tools if possible.
You're almost so Dutch.
I was too long here. So in a way. When it comes to the tools, let's say you said like any type of gaming engineer. First thing I would like to probably tell and map it a little bit.
Yep.
So I need to understand where they're coming from, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I will have like a really detailed intake, sourcing intake.
Yep.
It's not a recruitment intake because we have very different goals.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
park this. We can get back to that one later. Yeah. Okay.
So please don't forget because I'm not good at multitasking.
Sorry, yeah.
Yes. So basically, when you start with choosing the tools, you need to know what type of problem you're solving. So if the engineer, for example, you're looking for is a very rare to find, so you will be looking for maybe multiple platforms, like maybe this person is in Unreal Discord community, or if you're looking for something else, maybe this person is more likely to be asking questions on Stack Overflow in one of the ways to find these people. It could be these people launching tutorials,
mm-hmm.
because they really record the videos.
Yeah.
Like,
how do you do the talent mapping? Because how do you know that they're on Unreal? If they're on Stack Overflow, I mean, that's
exactly.
Yeah?
So that's good. So before I go to the someone, like there is a hiring manager who says, I would like, for example, Unreal 4 engineers.
Yeah.
So the hiring manager sets the scene. So we need this type of person. I will start two processes in parallel. One, I will go to LinkedIn Insights because it's a paid tool and I'm always curious to start with LinkedIn. So this is the place where I spend 2 weeks maximum at the beginning. I'm using LinkedIn Insights to see what title, education, companies, and maybe locations, are known to LinkedIn to have this professional to have the specialist.
Yeah.
Then I will X-ray.
Yeah.
Because I will use the keywords to see what Google is given to me. And of course, I will just simply Google and ask ChatGPT, are there any communities, like is there any Discord or Slack or maybe Reddit
threads
that I can check out. And of course, I will try to ask the people who already work in the company, like, hey guys, can you recommend me what is that you use? Maybe there is some, it's quite often the case, by the way, there's some popular repository on GitHub that you're all following.
Mm-hmm.
Or there is like a few people that you're all following because they're super awesome in the Unreal 4 and this is where you need to be. And I get to have a list of YouTubers and Vimeo videos that you can actually source.
Yeah.
So one of the places that I spend a lot of time when I start to work in gaming and sourcing in gaming, it became video platforms.
So you go on YouTube, you find the
keywords, even
the keywords
on YouTube. You can search by keywords, and if you put like a hashtag or your keyword like tutorial for Unreal developers, and then you see comments, people asking questions, sharing their groups. Yeah, it's
and this is not only for Unreal, but it could be used for all kind of technical or even
it's
non-technical.
Just an example.
Even.
Non-technical as well.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a recruiter, I would say it's like the easiest way is to get to the recruitment communities.
Yep.
So there is in the Netherlands is one of the biggest one recruitment slackers,
mm-hmm.
Created by amazing people, and so I think it's close to 2,000 people already,
yep. mm-hmm.
based in here in the Netherlands. So that makes it very easy because it's very location based, or you can go to other communities. So,
mm-hmm. So like those kind of searching on YouTube is new to me. So that's cool to learn.
Recognize the keywords.
Just like in the search bar where you normally find your videos, you
exactly.
just used your keywords, but you can also get comments. You can see the comments of people using those keywords. What do you have to do? Like hashtag or?
You can use hashtag. But when you go to, let's say there is an amazing guy. His name is Bassem.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a software engineer, senior software engineer in GitHub.
Yep.
And he has his own podcast on YouTube. I
mm-hmm.
don't know how you call it podcast as well? Like
but with video, it's still podcast.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So he does that and he invites other engineers. He really has subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the people who are interested in the topics that you're looking for. So
yeah.
if I'm looking for DevOps engineer, I will be looking for those who generate this type of content.
Yep.
And then those who are following them. Mm-hmm. Or leaving comments.
Yeah.
So
but
it's all public.
This is probably the first step instead of scraping names, I guess.
Yeah.
And from there, this is just one of your sources where you could get like really pinpointed names.
Amazing.
Of people. Yeah. Yeah.
Another, I'm not sure how many gaming recruiters or sources will be listening to us, but there is extension, of course, for YouTube to summarize the video for you.
Like so literally like a text.
Literally just a text for you. So I've been using that for the game credits. So because
yes.
I don't want to type everyone's name.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to take me some time. So great thing about sources, we are a little bit lazy. We are closer to tech people rather than we're close to recruiters.
Yeah, but a good sourcer or a good developer, a lazy one is the best one.
Yeah.
Because they're going to find out ways to make it easier.
Yeah.
And they're usually the better ones. Yeah. This is one of the probably many places you can scrape information of. What is another one? Because I'm intrigued with like this YouTube story.
Yeah, with YouTube, yeah. Summaries and subtitles and this kind of things. Mm. What else? I think Twitter or X right now was always my favorite source for diversity sourcing because, yeah, I see.
I was so like, you cannot see it, but I was looking
exactly
amazed
I wanna,
for a second.
I want to say to people who don't see you, so so I see this amazement on the face. So Twitter has these email groups. So can you guess how women who code in Python could call themselves on Twitter? So very strange. Okay, so I don't want to put you in this situation. So basically,
what is it called? Snakes, but that's a little bit of a negative term.
It is negative term, yeah. But you can source on Twitter for snake, and it's going to give you Python software engineers because it's one of the emojis that they're going to use. Emoji search is very powerful for Twitter. So
nice.
I do that. I do use flags. For the communities, LGBT, and if you
but like how do you search on those things on Twitter? And I'm more of a scroller. I am on Twitter, but I never react.
Do you know that Twitter has advanced search?
Yeah, I think so. Wait, I'm going to Twitter right now.
Okay,
I want to know now.
Let's see if you can find the advanced search on Twitter.
Let me see.
That's good. This should be a very practical session.
Wait,
so.
Explore.
Okay.
Wait, you cannot see what I'm seeing, of course. I'm here at Explore at the moment. Or do I check at communities? Okay. Don't view. I don't know something in English, though. Show
you.
Content. Transfer you. Oh, that's interesting. Can I just...
Can you just type in the browser? Just Twitter advanced search? Gonna be easier.
I need a little waiting music at the moment.
So I think people should just go themselves and to that.
So go to Google, search for Twitter advanced search, and you can check for words, exact phrases, any of the words. Oh, this is kind of like searching on LinkedIn, I guess, in this sense. Hashtags.
In a way, but for Twitter, it's very helpful. So basically, you can add the emoji, you can add the exact phrase, because people quite often using like short titles.
Oh, yeah, and you can use from date to date. Minimum likes. Oh, that's cool.
It is. And so my favorite one was, so coming back to the Python and women who code in Python. So they will be called PyLadies. And can you type PyLadies on Twitter search? Just on Twitter search. It's also okay. Where you're just searching for anything. PyLadies. And what you should see, that these are like a chapters. So you see groups. So they're based in can you show me?
Yeah, you got the PyLadies Paris.
Exactly. PyLadies Paris, London, Netherlands.
Yeah, cool.
Exactly. Can you open any of them?
Yeah, PyLadies Paris.
PyLadies Paris. Do you see followers? You can scrape them in like 3 seconds.
680 followers.
Yeah.
Followers.
So you
cool.
People who are following, so there's most likely software engineers or who are interested, right?
Yeah.
Or the people who really, as you, exploring this topic.
Yeah.
What you can do, you can use Phantom Buster.
Phantom Buster, yeah.
You know this Phantom Buster?
Yeah.
It's I use the free version for 10 minutes scraping. It's more than enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I will just scrape all the followers and I will see how relevant they are for me. But in terms of diversity, so you can actually find the communities and find people opinion. They're vocal there, so I still hope that Twitter will survive all these changes. And so
yeah, well, this is already quite learnful for me, so that's good. Thanks. And if you use Phantom Buster, what kind of and you scrape this list of PyLadies Paris?
Could be this Phantom Buster you can use on Twitter, for example. Yeah, the followers or the following. Mm. I don't do personally any affirmations like after auto follower or after unfollower, so this kind of thing. So I don't use. Mm. I like to really add someone to my connections if I want to.
Yeah.
But this Phantom Buster, you can scrape GitHub search, super handy. So you can choose the location, the language, and get sort of a few hundreds of people to work with.
Yep.
So I think what people are afraid of when recruiters are afraid of when they have to do sourcing is it's probably overwhelmingly a lot of profiles. So yep. You can build a really huge pipeline. So what if you scrape like hundreds of profiles? What do you do after that? Yeah. When you were asking me about the tools.
We're now here at, we had the scraping part. We have a long list of names or usernames or maybe a little bit more information, I guess.
More. There will be bio, the name of the person or the nickname that you can check with what's my name tool. And there will be location, sometimes some additional information someone leave. Mm. Yeah, but there will be bio.
Public.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's public. Yeah,
yeah. Okay, and then we have a long list of scraped people with some information.
Exactly. So what now you can do about it? Yeah, now what? So most of the times, yeah, so you can go to Excel. So you put all these scraped results to Excel and so then you can do some magic with it.
Mm-hmm.
I use ChatGPT a lot to advise me on the formulas, like remove duplicates, combine this, combine that, so clean the data. So it's so helpful.
And like a plugin ChatGPT for Excel?
ChatGPT for Excel, exactly. Amazing plugin, helped me loads. But I also ask questions because some of the solutions that I would like to make could be outside of the formulas that are standard.
Yeah.
That's
so you have a kind of a long list in a sense. You kind of narrowed it down by asking questions, undouble it, and then you go back to a little bit of a, not a short list, but a medium list.
So a few hundred still.
Yeah.
So you make sure with the people bio, so you can already exclude some people that you know, recruiters or CEO or something like that. The next great thing, what you can do, I use it a lot. So Balazs, he is one of the also very famous sourcers. So he created some extension for cross-referencing. So you highlight the name on the page. It could be on Excel. It could be on LinkedIn. Yeah. And you get the social media of this person. But before he created the extension, he actually built an Excel file that has these formulas inside. It's Google for look. Do look up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if you Google, so there will be his old article about it, where you see this Excel. I'm not sure if Balazs is listening to it, but Balazs, it was so helpful. I'm not sure if you're supporting it anymore.
Yeah.
Do look up, because don't look up if there's a movie.
Yeah, because since the Don't Look Up movie, it's not the first hit anymore.
Exactly. So try to add Balazs as a name as well.
Balazs.
Yes.
That's a Hungarian name, I guess.
Actually never checked.
Asset? Balazs?
Balazs, yeah. So if you do look up his name, so you should see, again, we need to find a way how to give. Yeah, this one there, the code. So I think you found the extension. Yeah, so this is the code for candidates. I don't see from here, so. I'm sitting like 1 meter from Kevin.
Yeah. So that gives me a good overview. It's interesting.
So do you see Excel file on this page?
Excel.
Is it exit? Go down.
There it is.
Yes. If you make a copy of this one, if you look into the lines where the code is, so you will see that you can create formulas yourself. So basically, you can create the formulas for Excel file where you put someone's name and the role. You get the profiles in this file. So you will have Excel with 100 people and all their LinkedIn profiles, GitHub profiles, etc. And you will start like opening them and decide if you're going to contact them or not. So I think with clay, probably clay can be inserted here and gets this personalization and mm-hmm. email in part. So
yeah. So you scrape via different ways, you get the information out, you kind of make it from a long list a little bit of a shorter list.
Clint.
Then you use clay, and with clay they use all the information from the social media sites from that person to make a personalized message.
Yeah, you can use the clay. I don't, again, because it's paid tool, so I don't do that for now. But so again, the steps.
You have a free version of clay also?
No, I don't think so. No? I mean, I'm not sure. So okay. I never
drop
asked
it in
them.
The comments if you know. By the way,
yeah, I never actually, like, I'm not affiliated with any of the tools, but mm-hmm. I recommend a lot of them.
Okay.
So I use Mixmax. Is the one for the email campaigns.
Yep.
So basically, you can use Phantom Buster or Instant Data Scraper to get the profiles, easy.
Yep.
Then you build the Excel file, you clean with ChatGPT suggestions, and then you add formulas so that when you put the name of someone, you have their LinkedIn, their GitHub, their Facebook profiles in this Excel file.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, you have different options. So you can, some people, they put the email address and just blindly email them.
Mm-hmm.
You can use clay because this has the functionality of email personalization.
Yep.
So it's quite an automation, mm-hmm. I believe. So I still do it without clay, a little bit more manually, because I spend maybe a few minutes on the someone's profile, and I try to get a very, very much personalization, because in gaming, you probably want to hear and receive an amazing message from your dream company.
Yeah.
Anyone I interviewed for Riot Games, they were like the most passionate people about the company and the game. So you don't want to disappoint them. So that's why I can't actually send crappy personalization.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is like what I thought of is that nobody likes, copy-paste messages. Like, so we kind of, you personalize it as far that you automated it again, so it's kind of the circle as around
exactly,
again.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's just also interesting to me, because eventually it is done for you by the right tools, but it is still personal in a sense. So that's really cool. Okay, so then you use all those messages.
I create the campaigns. So basically, with Mixmax, it's very easy.
Yeah.
You personalize the first message, but the follow-ups are always the same. You can use a little bit of sense of humor. I always like how people get creative. So
mm-hmm.
Recently I saw amazing line. So the subject line is very important for me. I like to mm-hmm. put some humor, and I think it could be very catchy as well.
Word jokes.
Yes. It's.
I use a lot of word jokes if I can.
Work?
Yeah. Word. Play on words.
Playing with words. Yeah. Yeah. So that's great. I mean, English is not my native language, obviously. So I think you have to really have a good sense of humor to play with it. But I do like technologies, and one of my favorite, if you're looking for people who do Go or Rust, so you can use something like, should I Rust or should I Go?
I
love it. So, once I was contacted by company, software engineering company, they didn't have recruiter, and so they just used the line from a song that they saw that I was tweeting, and this is a hell of a personalization to get the attention for recruiter, right?
Yeah. Wow.
So just the software engineers check my Twitter, saw the songs that I was putting, like, this is what I'm listening right now, blah, blah, blah.
Could you use Spotify as well within this whole idea?
I think it was quite popular maybe like 5 years ago to use Spotify. In a way, not anymore. So, but what I did, I Googled for top users of Spotify just to see if there's people put anything in their social media profiles. And I noticed that a lot of people did post on Instagram. That's their like top 3 or 0.03% of Spotify users, but it's too much to check. So it could be anyone, basically.
So let's say that if you have, like, I don't know, 5 hires a month, where are those hires coming from, generally speaking, from?
None of them from LinkedIn, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Again, nothing against LinkedIn, just Especially for some roles like an engineer, and it just doesn't work.
Yeah, but no, but it's a good thing. Yeah. I mean, LinkedIn has such a monopoly position that it is good that we talk about other possibilities to search for people outside of LinkedIn, because you know they're getting such a position.
Alternatives are always always good, right? So, out of five, I would say one is for sure will be a referral. The referral programs are so important. So yeah, we can do the whole show about it. The rest will be from specialized platforms when you can find someone's portfolio. I X-ray for CVs and portfolios a lot because people call it like that.
Mm-hmm. How do you search like really quickly somebody? Because X-ray is just in the Google writing the right terms. If you want to find a front-end portfolio, what do you just out of curiosity, what do you fill in Google in the search bar?
So you can for example file type you can do, and you can do PDF for example. Mm-hmm. And so you can
file type
in title, file type, and then in title could be like portfolio, CV, anything like that. So this is a very easy way to do that. So just with this search.
Oh yeah, this is that easy. Okay.
Your file type and the in title. So cool. Just one of them. I would say I would also try something with the personal website. Like I use Asterisk a lot because I don't know how people will call it, like engineer or developer or anything like that. So Asterisk will be
so
super
software
helpful.
Asterisk.
Yeah. So that's, but even not software, maybe full stack Asterisk or .NET Asterisk, so this kind of thing, so it will be helpful.
Claire, what did you use for your campaigns?
For finding specific candidates on specific platforms, you mean, for example, ArtStation, I find a lot of artists there. On Vimeo, I find a lot of Unreal engineers. Mm-hmm. On Mobi Games, these are the people with game credits. It could be producers, QA, Unreal engines, this kind of people.
How much easier did your life get when ChatGPT got launched? Or was it just a different kind of working for you?
In a way, it felt like now generating content for non-English speaking person, it's amazing. It makes my life so much easier because I also can play with a little bit of the tone of my message.
Yeah.
This is what I was always struggling. And I think ChatGPT helps me a lot. So I had a colleague, Michael Goldberg. So he was, Michael Goldberg. He is like, I don't know, his messages to the candidates, they're like blankets. They're full of love and respect. And I always wanted something like that. So so now I use some of his templates. I put on the ChatGPT and ask, hey, can you teach me how to do that?
Nice. Yeah. Hey, I'm going to grab back a little bit before we talked about, because I need to remember that, because the sourcing intake. Mm-hmm. Before all this happened, what we just talked about with like all the tools and the scraping and you know the profiles, and we talked about shortly that I had to remember that the sourcing intake is different than a vacancy intake. What are the biggest differences?
For sourcer, it's really important to understand the deliverables of the person that you're looking for. Mm-hmm. What I mean is, I really need to hire a manager to open up about what problem this person is going to solve, and really challenge them on the requirements. Because I'm in a position as a sourcer with all my tools to help the hiring manager understand if a hiring manager wants some people in this particular location, how big is the pool? If hiring manager wants this particular technology as a must-have, how big is the pool? And this is my way.
Like
so
mapping.
It's mapping together with a hiring manager. So first, I spend, I think, around 1 hour, and I always try to record my sessions with hiring managers.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like discovering with them together what is that they're looking for. I'm not focused on the interview process or like qualities of this person in a way. I would really like to understand what problem this person is going to solve, what to pitch, because I'm going to reach out to these people. Yep. So I need to really have a good pitch. And this is always
you need to know what their triggers are, I guess, from your target group.
If we're if you're really offering something that is really cool.
Yeah.
But I also try to narrow down to maximum three must-haves. So a lot of times it's a lot of must-haves, nice-to-haves, and then nice-to-haves are like must-haves. So and
just to give me three things that it needs to have, like start there.
Exactly. Mm. And so on this sourcing session, it happened so many times when I was really discovering together with the hiring managers what are the needs, what are the technologies and the must-haves. We ended up to call it differently. We ended up to reduce the amount of requirements or change them completely. So the next session will be collaboration. It could be like you just send the profiles and ask to comment, or you can have another session and just to go together and see if this profile is a good or not. I'm not sure if recruiters are using that on the intakes as well, but at sourcing intakes, I use examples that are made by hiring managers. They need to bring me examples of their ideal profiles and explain
why
they're ideal.
You give them homework before the meeting. Like, okay, you bring me three examples of the candidates.
Well, it's better five, because with three, they can really... And most of the times, it's so funny. So how they try to... The profiles are really not the ones that you will contact, but they really try to defend, like, why they think this is the perfect candidate.
Yeah.
A really nice exercise. I really recommend to everyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like how the tables have turned in that sense. Cool. What are the three go-to questions for you in that sourcing intake?
Yeah, so one is, what is the problem that we need to solve?
Yeah.
Basically, like the necessity, like the reason why we have this person. Second one, what is there for this person? Why anyone should join it?
Yeah.
And the third will be probably where a little bit about where this hiring manager think these people coming from. Maybe they know like backgrounds in terms of like interests, technologies, education. So anything specific about these people that you're looking for. Yeah.
Cool. I want to thank you for your time, Alla. and for the people who want to, you know more, or she's a speaker, so you can contact her, Alla Pavlova. I guess by name you should find her. There is a componist also with the same name, so that's not her. But thank you so much for your time. I'm gonna join your talk after this podcast here at Time to Hire. I'm listening carefully because I learned a lot today. So thank you so much, and for the rest of the people listening, thank you so much for listening to the Recruitment Café. This one was in English. Next time we'll be back in het Nederlands. Dus dankjewel voor het luisteren en tot de volgende. Bye.